We're in the book of Jude, and I believe there's no better way to start into the third or fourth verse than to reread that salutation in 1 and 2. So let's go right back to it. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Well, I'll tell you, we're sanctified, we're preserved, we're called. Then look at that next word in verse 3. Beloved. Now, when's it going to get through to us how much we are loved? How much He loves us, and so great love that does love us. And a matter of fact, the only time that I've really ever heard the word beloved is when I go to a wedding. And I believe there's no mistake in that. The only other times I hear it are in these wonderful epistles, especially through Paul's. Beloved, beloved, beloved. Brothers and sisters, we need to wake up. A wedding is about to commence. And I do not want to be a guest. I will be thankful. But I've got an offering, and you do too, to be the bride. And it's all over here. And there's a spousal calling all over this wonderful, wonderful letter here of Jude. And so let's just dive right into the third and fourth verse. It says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once, and that's once and for all, delivered unto the saints. And notice there, it's should. This is to Christians. This is our calling. This is the yielding. This is our choice. Will you go? It's all over the Word of God. Thank the Lord that it is so apparent in these wonderful epistles and in this one that we're reading tonight, that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once and for all delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this verse 3 and 4 is revealing the very reason that this brief but mighty letter is written. And I've seen much commentary on this, and I've heard some people give this, and I believe that they were giving it out as they were led. But I think without exception, it's always been presented the fourth verse before the third verse. And always been the explanation, well, you have to understand what's going on so you know why Jude wrote this. And I don't remember if you recall last week, there were ones that were trying to disturb the order of sanctified, preserved, and called. Don't disturb the order. The Holy Spirit put those verses exactly as they needed to be put, okay? And as I was just so encouraged coming to this study tonight, we must first recognize and cherish and love the great calling that we are under before we're ever going to be able to stand, before we're ever going to really be able to effectively battle. I think of all of the different ones that I've met over the past so many years, a school that my children used to go to. Sweet people, love the Lord, so zealous, I'm so thankful. But it was a very much of an emphasis. Missionary, missionary, missionary. I saw them sending out people that couldn't tell you how to be saved. GP in the sky, I am convinced, is go pray. And even if you're convinced it's go preached, go pray. And go pray and go pray and go pray. And then the Lord, He'll let you know. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there's a perfect order in this. And we need to know the original. It's been brought out many times in this meeting. You need to know the original. You need to know the Word of God. And then you can start addressing and to be able to combat the counterfeit. And there's many counterfeits out there. But you know that story about the guy that was there that was one of the greatest counterfeit inspectors for the United States. This guy was interviewing him and said, "Well, this is amazing. How do you figure out all these different counterfeits? You're the guy they go to and you've seen there's so many different ones. How do you recognize all of these different ones? How did you find these? How did you study all of these counterfeits to know this?" And he says, "I don't study them at all. I know the original. I know exactly what the original looks like. I know it so well that when one thing is out of place, I got it. I know it's wrong." And this is where we're at, brothers and sisters, in this, is that we need to settle down and recognize and cherish and know the Word of God. "Beloved," as it says here, "I gave all diligence." This brother Jude, I appreciate. The Holy Spirit filled his heart such that he says, "I'm earnestly writing this to you." Earnestly. There's a pouring out of love. There's a love of God that's come in. There's no more time to mess around. And brothers and sisters, we need that in our lives as well too. And it's not to hammer somebody, but it's truly to be a witness, a testimony, to love someone, and to be willing to, first of all, live the grace of God. I believe that our actions speak so much louder than our words. But then when we do get the opportunity to not be ashamed of the gospel, to give it out in boldness, that's who you are. Praise the Lord. Thank God if they ridicule me. Thank God if that coach that I didn't know him at all, really, I didn't know if he believed or not. But I knew that was an opportunity to say, there's a balm in Gilead. And I saw his head come up and I knew it. He got it. He had heard those words somewhere a long time ago. "Oh, I'm from Iowa." Well, everybody from Iowa, you know, as my sister told me. But he knew the Lord is his Savior. Hadn't been in church for a long time, hadn't been that. But you know what? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's his child. And he wants to comfort him. And thank God that we can be ready to give every man an answer, a comfort, love. They need that. Sometimes you'll get your head handed back. They put your Lord upon a cross. They took Paul's head. Brother Peter, it said, was put upside down and nailed to a cross. But you know what? Happy are they. Happy are they. So brothers and sisters, this brother gave all diligence. He pled. He's calling here for a quickening of the common salvation. Now, I don't want us to make any mistake about it. There is nothing common or ordinary about our salvation. That's not what's being said here. Because I was thinking about it. Our salvation is extraordinary. Our salvation is a one of a kind. Our salvation and our Savior was an innocent lamb who came to die. Isn't that amazing? My Savior came not as this mighty, big opening in heaven. He came as a little baby in a manger. They couldn't find a place for him to be born. And they had a stall. And that's where he came. His brothers and sisters didn't respect him at all. His mother, I'm sure, had a time with him. Couldn't imagine what a fine son. Never disrespectful, but he just knows we got to watch him. I must be about my Father's business. I mean, that's who loves us. Those stories are real. It's so wonderful. It's my Savior. And the only thing common about this is that it all belongs to us. It belongs to us all. It belongs to all of God's children. We are saved by the same blood. It's the same cross. It's the same grace. It's the same effect. It cleanses us. It redeems us. We are accepted. We stand perfect before God and praise His name. We are invited into His throne room and encouraged. We are forever His children. But as Jude was led to pen this, he continued on and he received an extra anointing. There was an encouragement here to exhort them to go further on. Because brothers and sisters, there was a battle going on back then, and there's a battle going on right now. And we're not battling flesh and blood. I think we found that out, haven't we? I do. I believe every time I thought, oh, I'm battling that guy. Boy, I've got a boss, or I've got an employee, or I've got. No. It's spiritual wickedness in high places. We know that. That's what's exciting about this. This is the real deal. And it's all about us, brothers and sisters. And I'm so grateful to God that He has called us to this. But we need to be strengthened in the inner man is the call here. We need to be strengthened so that these things do not slip. These are wolves in sheep's clothing that are about us. And they're here. And you know what the main preaching is? And we've heard it so many times, and I'm so thankful to God. How He loves us, brothers and sisters. How we have heard from our pastor for so many years. It's become good God, good devil, good everybody. Except I'll add to that, except for Christians. And that's the truth. It's exciting. We're being persecuted. It is. And it's going to come more and more. And we're going to be ostracized more and more. And I love it. Because I don't have to try to suffer. I stand and withstand and not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and He'll bring it on. It's the calling. It's the way. And that's where we're at this time. There's a warfare. And the warfare of the believer is happening right now. And the Word of God tells us to take and to put on the whole armor of God. And to give all diligence, as this brother says, to earnestly contend. And that word in the Greek, to earnestly contend, means to contend with an adversary, so to compete for a prize. Did you hear that? To contend with an adversary, so to compete for a prize. See, we're not fighting to qualify. And I think that's huge. The Lord's been putting that back on my heart many times to tell us, we're not fighting to qualify. You're already His. You've already won. You're fighting to win. You're fighting to finish with joy. He said He's the author and finisher of your faith. That's going to be. The question is what's going to be written down? How much of it are you going to take? Are they going to find me by the grace of God in those worthies of faith? The full overcomers in Christ Jesus in the church age. My goodness. That's what's going on right now. That's the reward that's with Him. He's coming. He's coming soon. And He's all over it. And His grace is all over us. So wonderful to know that I can hear in these words, even from this sweet brother, again, a place not for him. But you know, Daniel was shown many things too. He wanted to look into it. I look at Ezekiel and I look at that cherubim and all those things that by the grace of God, Brother Paul, he just painted them right out for me. I see it. He wrote about them, but he couldn't look into them. The angels wanted to look into that stuff, but it wasn't for them. Without us, they can't be made perfect. I'm excited. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. You know, my dad used to say, oh, I'm thankful to be born in this time, in this age. I've got running water, and I don't have to walk anymore to the outhouse. There are a lot of things to be thankful for. But I'm thankful by the grace of God that I live in the time that Christ in me is the hope of glory. And I'm getting it. And I'm thankful to God by His grace. I want it. I want all the fullness of God. And it's a calling that He's given us. But we can hear in this, brothers and sisters, it's very clear. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. What do you think? We going to go home and get battered down again this week? I don't want to do that. I want to fight on. But as the Word of God's been coming on, I want to love on. That's what it is. Love on. I'm going on. And the only way I'm going on is I'm going to love on. I love it. Praise be to God. And how about endure hardness as a good soldier? I think it is sword-wielding time, brothers and sisters. It's time to get the sword out. It's time to wield it properly. It's time to take the things that God has given us by His Holy Spirit, the things of Christ, the rightfully divided Word of God, and to stand in it. Not just to know it, but to have it be our passion, our absolute passion. Now, that's not something that's forced. It's not something, well, I'm going to be a Christian and I'm going to be... That's love. It's love. It's realizing how much we're loved. It's reading these stories like we're over there in Genesis and thinking, Lord, You did that for me to see so clearly. So clearly that out from among those Gentiles, out from among the family of God, You're coming to get Your bride. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. Hallelujah. Lord, how You're keeping me. The ark, oh hallelujah, is going to boat us right out of here. Oh, I'm so grateful to God. But brothers and sisters, the calling is to stand in defense. We're fighting for the most precious faith. It's the faith, as it says here, the once and for all faith which was delivered to the saints. Brother Paul said, it's the good fight. And fight for it. Keeping the faith. Finishing the course. And again, for what? For this once and for all faith. And I want to examine that just for a moment. Throughout the New Testament, it talks about this word once, which means once and for all. I'll give you some verses. You can write them down. Hebrews 9. Verse 7, 27, and 28. There's many other places in the Word of God, and I'll read you one in 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once and for all, the word is once, but it means once and for all, suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Once and for all He died. It is finished. The great high priest. There's never a need anymore for another sacrifice. The veil is rent in twain. We have full access into the very presence of God because of His blood. Once and for all. Done. Done. Thank You, Jesus. The devil tried to keep Him off that cross. Anything that he could do. Anything. Oh my goodness. It is finished. Praise be to God. All right. But you know what? We have a great God. A great God. With manifold blessings and exceeding great and precious promises. And I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. So right by where we just were. And I want us to read about another once. That's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. When sometime we're disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the day of Noah. And that word once is once and for all. The long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That once and for all in this little text here is maybe even a little bit more exceeding abundantly above all I ask or think. Which sometime were disobedient. And once and for all. The same word in the Greek, brothers and sisters. And I want you to think about this. God always has a meaning for everything. And God always has one precious thing impressed upon His heart. And that's a bride for His Son. And Noah's Ark is a precious type, as we know, of the bride coming out of the wicked world. And here it does state it, I believe, in such grandeur that it says, once and for all, the long suffering was removed. It was done. It was finished. Hallelujah. And we're just about there. Because he who hinders is just about ready to be taken out of the way. The bride is about to be taken. And the full force of the devil is going to come forth. And as I was telling my boy, my youngest, he's studying right now about the Holocaust. Horrific. Beyond horrific in many, many ways. How evil. The hate. the seared conscience that went forth to do that evil upon those people. But I said, son, as evil as that was, there's a time coming that's going to be worse. It's going to pale in comparison to what happened to those people. He said, well, Daddy, how could that even be? I said, because the evil of man will wax worse and worse. He said it would. The evil is already here. Evil's when people denounce that even happened. That's wicked. And it is. Now, I'm not here to talk about a moment in time or these different things, but I'm here to emphasize the wicked that's out there at this time. And it's boiling. Not simmering anymore. It's starting to boil. It's exciting. When you see these things start to happen, look up. He's ready to come. And he's just about here. But I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. These precious ones that were in this wonderful ark, once and for all faith, Jesus Christ is about to come. And the ark, our Savior, catching the 8 away. Now we know the number 8 speaks of redemption. But it also speaks of the bride. Never forget it. And praise be to God. I know that that's why he emphasized those 8 over there in little Peter. Look up. It's about ready. Look up. I'm about here. And she safely abides with him as the world goes into destruction. So earnestly contend for the faith. How? Follow Paul as he followed Christ Jesus. That's it. He gave it to us. That's the faith to follow. That's the love by the grace of God to embrace that calling. To finish well, to finish with joy. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. See, that's when we get into trouble, isn't it? When we follow anything but faith. I don't know about you, but I want to please God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. If I'm coming to this meeting for anything but, Lord, increase my faith. And I know faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we've got the connection. We know it's the word spoken in truth and love that's going to build up. And the building up is that faith. And we know that it's faith which worketh by love. And we know that it works effectually in us because we believe. That's why we're here. We don't come here out of loyalty. Well, my parents came here, my family. I appreciate anybody who comes here, but I really want you to come for the right reason. I want to grow up into Him in all things. I want to grow in grace and knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God forbid I'd ever rob you. You're not just Holy Ghost millionaires. My goodness, you could stand with Him and be His very glory. By the grace of God, I want us to see that. It's all Him. Know it. But He's the right kind of husband. He wants to share it with his wife. He doesn't force her to walk behind him like so many cultures do in all of this. Oh, no, 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 no. He puts her out in front. And he says, here she is. She's glorious. She's without spot or wrinkle. She's taken every bit of the grace and the love of God that the Holy Spirit came to bring her. She hitched on. Didn't she? She followed the man. And it led right into the arms of the bridegroom. It's absolutely perfect, isn't it? It's absolutely seamless. The pattern, impeccable, not a stitch out of place. It's the complete and all of His perfect will. So absolutely marvelous. So, nothing more, nothing less. Whose faith follow. Amen? Amen. All right. Now I believe we can go on to verse 4. You didn't realize. And you know what? We just touched the surface of it, didn't we? I want you to know that. I mean, come on. It could be eternities to come in just a word. We're talking about the living word. This is Jesus Christ. Come on. Okay. So why? Why this? Why this diligence? Why this earnestly contending? Why this fighting the good fight of faith? For there are certain men crept in unawares. Slither, slither. Creepy crawly. I don't have any creeping around our house, as I tell my children. That could get you hurt. I need to know you're coming. I thank the Lord, because those that are listening are going to know He's coming. The trump will sound. Now think about it. This is about 30 years after Christ Jesus was crucified that this book, or this letter, was written. All right? Brother Paul, pretty much around this time, was beheaded. All those wonderful epistles had been going out, the letters. So those were pretty fresh. And yet, the warnings were coming right then. Now I want you to think about this. We're 2,000 years removed from that. How much more should we be aware that there are ones coming in and creeping in unawares to distort the truth, to turn it into a lie? And they're out and amongst us right now, brothers and sisters. It's here. But see, we don't have to fret. We don't. Because we know. The Word of God told us this. This is why we get into the Word of God. It's exciting. There's nothing more exciting. There isn't. Because it tells us what's going on. It tells us how much He loves us. It tells us everything. And it tells us specifically the day that we live in and how exciting that when you see these things come to pass. See, we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. And I love what it says here. It says, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. When I read something like that, I say, praise God for His foreknowledge. I say, praise God for Proverbs 16:14. The Lord has made all things for Himself. Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. You don't get anything past God. You don't. And this, brothers and sisters, is before of old ordained to this condemnation. These evil ones can't help but fulfill and add to the purpose of God. All things were made by Him, for Him. Without Him, nothing was made. All things consist and hold together because of Him. He's got it. He's absolutely got it under control. It may seem in this world, but more importantly, I don't think that troubles us. Hopefully it doesn't. God help you if it does. Don't let the world trouble you. But my household, oh no, now that's out of control. But He knows. Jesus knows. And He knows you. I'm out of control. Well, you might be, but Jesus knows. He made you. He knows your thought afar off. He knows how your heart beats. I'm so thankful to God. Like I said, my sweet cousin, there's his daughter. They found a tumor in her head that she's had for years and years and years. But it just so happens to be a tumor. Thanks be to God. That's benign. That you just live with, that it's fine and it just is there. God knew that all along. God knew that about His child in ages past, that would be there. Praise be to God. All right? He's got it under control. He really does. All He's called us to do is to trust Him, to believe Him, to rest, and to rest just as God did, seeing it was well. It's in the hands of His Son, and we're going to be just fine. Praise be to God. Getting out of our reasoning. What do you think? Out of reasoning? Stepping into faith? I love that place. Faith like a child, and it is going to be the only way. But what does it say here that ungodly men do? Well, they do lots of things. But the thing that they always do, And what these ones did is they turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. Romans 1:25 tells us, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. Did you hear that? See, they turn the truth into a lie, and then they start to serve themselves, the lust thereof. Oh, but I've got a need. How many times have I talked to different ones? See, it was that burning in my chest. Take a Tums. Really? Because you don't know. But God does. And He does know. Get away from this mind. Let this mind be in you. And His mind is always the Word of God, isn't it? Never fails. It's perfectly in line with the Word of God. That's why we do know. That's why we are without excuse. Self is the greatest detriment, brothers and sisters, from going on with God. The Corinthians, remember that study? They distorted grace, didn't they? And they yielded to the lusts of the flesh. And they were lining up ways. Well, this is going to be godly. Those brothers and sisters, and I can call them that, they knew the Lord. But they got so into the flesh that communion became some kind of love fest. Stop right there and don't even imagine. I don't want you to go there. But you can see how it just got out of hand. And it got ugly. And they were given over to drink. And they were given over to all of these different things. And they were trying to justify it. Oh, the Lord has taken favor in this. I'm telling you, people go so far as to say, yeah, we'll call it sin and willfully, that grace may abound in here. Oh, I'm thankful for the grace of God. And then just going out and willfully sinning. It's not how it works. I'm thankful for the grace of God, I'm telling you, because it keeps me. He keeps me. And these brothers and sisters in Corinth, we knew how they ran amok because they left the faith. And when you leave the faith, you're going to find yourself in a shipwreck. A house wreck. Really. Job wreck. All of these different things. You may think it's going your way, but when you depart from faith, you're His child. And I'm going to underscore this one celebrity. That's why she really turned from God. She was, because she's so knowledgeable. She's all knowledge. Well, I'm not going to serve a God who's jealous. Let me tell you something, honey. I am so thankful He's jealous of me. I mean, I can't tell you the chills that go up and down my spine to know how much I'm thankful that He is jealous for me. So jealous that I'm the apple of His eye. So jealous that I don't fear what man can do unto me. Because if God be for me, who could be against me? I don't say that in pride. I just say that knowing the love of God for me. Oh, amen. That I'm more than a conqueror in that wondrous love in Jesus Christ who loves me so. Come on now. That's what we know. And there's lots of this evil out there today, brothers and sisters. Many Christians have left the gospel going after the lust of the flesh. Preaching doctrines that grace gives them the excuse to sin. Have you ever heard people tell you that? That grace gives you the excuse to sin? In all reality, grace is the reason to serve and to yield and to apply yourself and by the grace of God to abide faithful. Yeah, I've kept the faith. Paul said it. I've kept it. I'm thankful to God that we can have that ability by the Holy Spirit. See, when somebody loves you, don't you want to please them? Come on, really. I think I've told you this before. I knew my folks loved me. I mean, they just loved me. And I wanted to please them. And please them all the time. And when those times that I didn't want to please them, conviction set in. And immediately went back to, I want to please them. I love my parents. I wanted to do well. I don't really know how else to put it. Now, how much more so with our Heavenly Father, whose love, there's no comparison there, you know that. But when you love somebody, you want to please them. And that's how you live. And that's how the Lord Jesus convicts your heart to will and to do of His good pleasure. Because He loves me. Not because He's going to hurt me. Not because He's going to punish me. Not because He's playing games with me. He doesn't do that. He loves you. Absolutely, completely, totally, head over heels in love with you. And the sooner you find that out, the more beautiful life will become. Praise His name. All right. But distorting, as it says here, the meaning and the intent of the grace of God introduces wickedness that leads to open lewdness, no shame, seared conscience, a bold disregard for the truth. It's out. It's there. It's here, isn't it? It's everywhere. They want to take it off our buildings. They want to take it off of our money. They don't want you to think about God. They didn't want you to think about Jesus a long time ago. But now God's getting offensive. You can't even have a moment of silence. They took prayer out of a school. And now it's unconstitutional to have silence. I'm telling you the truth. This is, I will say this, this is your country. But I am not a citizen of here. I am not. Yes, I was born here. But there was a moment that I was born again. And I'm a citizen of heaven. And I just marvel when they're going to tell me that I can't breathe. Don't be afraid of this stuff. I'm sad, but I can't help but chuckle. To think, what do you think you're doing? My goodness. But they justify sinful and unnatural lifestyles that are contrary to the will of God. It's rampant, brothers and sisters. Promoting things that are unseemly. How often I hear, well, God really didn't mean it that way. Oh, many times. Oh, yeah. Or how about, we live in a different time. That was for them. It's different now. Or, you know what, God is really God, He's too loving to let that many perish. Or, you know, if He was really, really God, He's too loving to condemn anybody to hell. Who are you? Now, who are you? I don't know. It's just insulting. You know, if I came into your house and I just disrespected it, you know, here I am, I'm going to go into your house, all right? And before I go into your house, I see all these nice puddles of mud and yuck and things that I won't even mention that I could step in and get all over my shoes. And I walk into your house and I just dirty it all up. Disrespect you. Who are you? Now we're talking about God. And our stand. And we understand that that's happening right now, brothers and sisters. But don't let it go without effect in our hearts. Don't let the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be taken in vain without it striking your heart. Huh? Not just a swear word or something like that. No. The word. I don't want to hear that. Now I know that we're in a world and we're in a time that's just going worse and worse. But don't ever let me get desensitized to it. God help me. And that ain't being old fashioned. That has nothing to do with anything except Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord thy God in vain. Yeah. I love Him. I didn't like people disrespecting my mom and my dad and my sister, different things like that, I'd get in your face, you know? But oh, the Lord, but I know that He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. But it still hurts my heart. It still hurts my heart. So I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. We'll close this up. But as bad as that is, it brings on denying the Lord, the only Lord God, and our Lord Jesus Christ, as it says here. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. See, sin begets sin, just like glory begets glory. And the emphasis that we're reading here as it's closing up in this fourth verse is the term Lord. It describes both Lord God and Lord Jesus. And in the Greek, that word Lord is kurios, which means supreme authority. There's none other. It. God is it. Ahead. We need to listen. But man, so vain in his own imaginations, like the wicked Gnostics in John, remember we read about them, denying the deity of Jesus Christ? And they're out there today. And they do it with no shame. And a matter of fact, I know people that do it just like mad dogs when you try to contradict them. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by Him. How could you say something like that? You're hateful. No, I'm not. I'm loving. I love you enough to tell you that you need to give your heart to Christ. And if you miss that opportunity, oh my. My Jesus died for you. Whether you want to hear it or not, He died for you. They have no respect for the Word of God, brothers and sisters. They set up their own standards of authority to what pleases them. And they try to hide it in wicked phrases like, well, I'm open-minded. You're not tolerant. I am. I'm accepting to new ideas and concepts. There's got to be many paths. The one I think that is just the best of all. Well, God's in all of us. We're all His children. He's not going to be mocked. And judgment day is coming. And God help them. Their doctrines seem to change with the wind to meet whatever pleases and benefits them at that moment. But one day, brothers and sisters, one day, our day is coming. Now, He's going to be magnified in that judgment. Don't get me wrong. He is. But I don't want to see any perish. I don't. I know some wicked people that I see all the time in this world, whether it's our papers and they spew these wicked thoughts and all of these different things with some of these madmen out there in the world. But you know what? I know if they knew Jesus, it would change them. Could you imagine? Huh? Paul was the chief of sinners. And the Lord got a hold of him. So you know what? I know He can do anything. Amen. I turn over and we'll read this in closing. Ephesians chapter 1. There is a great warning going out, isn't there, brothers and sisters? You think of all of the studies that we've had on all of these different books. That theme is over and over and over. Beware. Be attentive. Get that whole armor of God on. Don't let these things slip. Cherish it. I'm your love. Love me. I love you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Let's read it from 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. Every knee shall bow. Every knee. and every tongue confess that He is Lord, and praise be to God, it will all be to the glory of the Father. And we'll be with Him. And we'll be cheering. And we'll be praising. And so thankful to God that, Lord, we paid attention. We were attentive. And brothers and sisters, let's contend. Earnestly contend. We're in a battle. You're on a race course. You're not a qualifier. You're in the final heat. Let's win. Let's win. I remember all those pep talks I got from the coaches all those times. And man, I went to a high school. We were awful sorry. We couldn't catch a wind. Man, we couldn't win. It was all right. But you've already won. That's the thing. The score is so overwhelming. And the enemy can't score. Done. And all He wants you to do is run with it. And run right into His everlasting arms. Praise be to God. Let's stand and be dismissed.